Fred Film Radio, International Documentary Film Festival, Amsterdam, Netherlands.
Joining us at this time are Noah Amir Arjemand and Adam Eisenberg, two of the directors of a very powerful and moving documentary that is being presented at IDFA this year, Eat Your Catfish. Noah, Adam, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi, thanks for having us.
Well, I'm very happy that we could get together on this call to talk about Eat Your Catfish, a really powerful, moving documentary that I think we can all agree, you know, has very little to do with actual catfish, right?
Yeah.
So just to get that out of the way before we begin. No, but if I can just briefly introduce the film for the folks listening who are not familiar with it. Just this is the story of a woman named Catherine who, after years with ALS, is kind of left paralyzed and needing 24-hour care. So a very intense topic. But Noah, this is also the story of your mother, right?
That's correct, yeah.
So I'd like to start by asking you, was Eat Your Catfish and this whole idea of making a documentary about her life your idea, and what was your motivation behind it?
Well, yeah. So I guess the original concept, I would say, was mine, which the idea was, in part, it was because I was spending so much time with her, kind of taking care of her and thinking that in some ways our family relationships would potentially be interesting to people, because they're kind of similar, maybe dynamics that a lot of people experience, but really pushed to an extreme by the disease. And of course, because I was there kind of in the apartment so much of the time, I had really kind of unparalleled access. So, you know, I kind of came up with the concept of, you know, the camera placement and so on, but I didn't really know what to do with it from there. I thought, you know, originally I thought maybe this would be like a kind of museum video installation, something like this. Maybe it would be a short story. But it was really the film came together when I started talking to Adam, and then later to Senem, Senem Tuzen, our third co-director. And it was really them who kind of turned my concept and my footage into a story, the story that you see on screen.
Right. And how did you three kind of meet and get together?
Yes, or Adam,
No,
ahead.
However. No, we met at a festival, the Margaret Mead Film Festival in New York, 8 years ago, I think. Noah and I met there when I had a film there. And then later we got to know each other in Istanbul. And Senem is my wife, and we've been working together as creative partners for 15 years now. So we always work together, taking turns as producer and director of each other's projects. So when Noah came to me with this amazing material, it was sort of automatic that Senem would be a part of this.
It's a very original project to me. I'm wondering, did you have any reference points in terms of projects that kind of tried to do the same thing?
Well, to some extent, I think films by films like Leviathan and Sweetgrass, or is it Sweetgrass or Sweet Green? Sorry, by Lucienne Castaigne Taylor, I think inspired me in terms of having kind of these long, uninterrupted takes, where instead of kind of having maybe, you know, an argument or an idea almost imposed on you by the camera work and the montage and so on, you kind of were able to really just observe interactions as they happened. So there was that idea kind of that I had, and really more than anything, what I wanted to be able to do was create almost as close to an actual fly on the wall as you could, right? Where you didn't have any crew involved. It was really just a camera running, where people knew it was running, of course, but really it became so normal as kind of part of the household, really part of all the equipment, the medical equipment around my mom, that we kind of just started after a certain point acting, you know, naturally and not self-consciously about it. And that was really the concept, was to try to not so much just show kind of the front stage, the like kind of well rehearsed version of our life or telling of our life in kind of a sit down interview, but to really show the kind of intimate, you know, good, bad, and the ugly of what life was like. So that's really where the idea came from, to have kind of the camera the way it was and so on.
Yeah.
A more naturalist approach.
If I could say that, yeah, this footage and the approach and this idea, kind of the concept to do this, to have this one camera from the same position of the main character of the patient the entire time, to me, it was so original and so purposeful and valuable. You know, sometimes you have an idea that's strange and odd and kind of original, but what's the point, really? It doesn't improve on anything. But it really improves on this kind of endless effort to be a fly on the wall as a documentary filmmaker, because there really is no crew there. And when I saw it, I was amazed by this footage when I first saw it. And I realized that, wow, this is exactly what this story needs. And for 7 years now, we've been editing this footage. There was 930 hours in total, so it took a long time. And as Sadam and I have edited the footage, I tried to build this narrative that came out of it eventually, you know, a clear story. I thought a lot about this. You know, can this apply to other films? Could someone take the same idea and do it with a different story? And I haven't come up with anything because it's so unique and fits so perfectly as a form with this particular story of someone who's paralyzed, who only has use of, you know, their mind is intact, her eyes and her ears work. It's a lot like someone watching a film. So when you sit there, you are her. In a lot of ways. And I can't really think of another story where this could work, but someone else might be able to. But it definitely fits perfectly with this story, seems to me.
Right. And seeing as we're talking about the style and the process with which you kind of project came together, I definitely am going to want to return to the origins of the film and kind of the filming process too. But I was also curious to find out more about how you put the film together, because as you mentioned, there were over, I think, 900 hours of footage. So that's a lot of footage. I mean, was there a process or a structure that you had in place, with which you could manage, you know, all these hours of footage?
Well, it's brutal, but we actually watched all of it. I mean, we watched it several times, I would say, over the years. And obviously the parts that we were interested in, we watched many times. So I hate to think how many hours we sat and looked at footage. And obviously a lot of it is just maybe Catherine sleeping in the dark, not a lot going on. You can probably fast forward, but you better be careful. You might miss something tiny there. But we also had the advantage that Noah, as he went, he wasn't simply turning the camera on. He kind of knew, well, today will probably be interesting. We've got a new nurse. There's probably going to be a conflict with my dad because there's always challenges in those situations. So he would turn the camera on in those days and let it run for hours. So he wasn't in the room, but he was a conscious production director, let's say, directing the production on his own, choosing. And we talked together about what might be interesting, but generally Noah was deciding that. And then actually he would take notes. He would say, oh, this is something interesting that happened during this 5-hour period. You might want to check that. So those notes were actually at first a guide, kind of landmarks of interesting things. But eventually, you know, we watched all the footage more than once and found all kinds of little gems that Noah didn't know about because he wasn't in the room at the time. So yeah, it was as hard as it sounds, to be honest.
Right, because you're condensing all these hours of footage into a film that's basically, I think, 74, 75 minutes long. And what I really admired about it is that you're not only using the moments that really feel like landmark moments. You know, obviously you've got Noah, you've got your sister's wedding, and but also the little moments. And I was wondering whether somehow you developed enough sensibility as you were working and as you were watching the footage, where you could kind of pick up on those moments.
I think that actually was really part of the process where, of course, at first we were really drawn to these extremely sort of shocking moments. You know, there's things that are just shocking about the disease, if you're not familiar with ALS, that are just really kind of upsetting. And naturally we were kind of drawn to that because it was new to us, and also to the conflicts with the family and so on. But it's true that over time, it was actually so hard. It actually became a bit difficult emotionally over a period to kind of deal with the footage. I became a bit saturated with it. And I would take turns kind of with Sanam, kind of dealing with this project because it was hard. And we did hit a point after a few years where I just thought, okay, this is enough. It's too hard. And, you know, I started to laugh at some of the footage, funny things that happened. And we made a conscious decision. Let's just try to go for just anything that makes us laugh. Let's squeeze it out of this. There's definitely stuff here. And the more we went with that approach, the more we were able to balance it. Not only looking at the big drama and the conflicts in the family, but also looking for the little things. And I think Sanam as well, because she comes from a scriptwriter's background. She's made fiction films, and this has really been her approach, is to really see this kind of a narrative arc, to always look for this, to see the people in their full complexity as though they are fictional characters, and to see that we need something here that's light in order to balance that. And she really mapped out very well this sort of overarching themes, ideas, approaches, underlying stories, side stories, and so on, much better than I could. That was very helpful.
Noah, what was your mother's initial reaction when you told her that you wanted to make a documentary about her?
Well, she was very much in favor of it. I think in large part, it was because she felt very guilty about how much of my time she was ultimately taking, you know, that I was kind of pinned down taking care of her, feeding her, adjusting her position and her equipment and so on for so many hours. So to turn it into a project, I think, to kind of, you know, was for me was, I think, for her, a way in which she maybe felt she could be giving something back. But that said, I think she also did kind of get into the filmmaking process a bit, and she was kind of, she thought it was funny, the idea of herself, you know, being on TV or on the big screen at some point. And so she was, yeah, in favor of it. And I think, you know, both her and especially my dad, I'd say another thing that they kind of unexpectedly would say on occasion is when they would be fighting, they would both sometimes want to use the footage as evidence, kind of to prove that they were right and the other one was wrong. So, you know, occasionally my dad would point at the camera and be like, oh, you know, you'll see, we'll run back the tape kind of thing. And then, you know, I'll be proved right. That ultimately never, you know, we never actually sat down together and watched the tape to adjudicate disputes. But I think there's maybe something about like, okay, you know, things are being, evidence is being collected here that I think to some extent she liked or appreciated, or just, you know, at a more basic level, her life was being documented.
Right. Kind of goes to show that there is a universal quality to this documentary also that makes it easier to connect with something like ALS, which is kind of my next question I was going to ask you as well was, do you think that Eat Your Catfish kind of addresses some misconceptions that people might have about ALS, you feel, or even people who need 24-hour care?
Yeah, well, I'll get started and then maybe Adam will want to add something on after. But yeah, I mean, my own impression, I guess, so there are a good number of ALS films out there. You know, a lot of really good films that are addressing often kind of the larger picture, you know, the politics of it and so on, or kind of the medical issues themselves. And I actually felt that the way we could kind of complement those and stand out would be not so much to focus on, you know, too explicitly on the disease itself. I mean, of course, you do learn important things about ALS, like, you know, that it affects really the body, but not the mind. You know, we see both hear that explicitly told to us, but then we also see in the evidence of my mom, you know, maintaining her sense of humor and still, you know, writing eloquently and so on. We see that in practice that although she can't move, she's still very much, you know, a person and present and thinking and so on. So, you know, at that level, yeah, hopefully we can, you know, potentially get rid of misconceptions or just kind of assumptions people have when they see somebody in a wheelchair who kind of looks, you know, motionless, inert, has maybe a strange posture and so on, to kind of humanize them at that level.
Yeah. I'd like to say that, you know, for me, I don't have this experience of caring for someone with this sort of kind of a very severe physical disability requiring such intensive care. And so for me, it was really a window into a completely new world. And when I first saw it, I was kind of amazed by it. And I think it achieves what I think any director of a documentary wants, which is for people to create an encounter where people who are watching meet people who are different from them, when to an extent everyone's different from everybody else, but someone who's really quite living something quite different from the viewer, and to deeply understand them and to understand their point of view. And I think this this film achieves that in flying colors. So it's been amazing for us to go through this footage and see that. And I think for me also, it really, right away, it challenged my assumptions. Where when Noah first came to me, before I saw the footage that he'd already shot, he'd already decided on sort of why he wanted to do something, and also the angle of the camera and all that. And he showed me some test footage. And I remember our conversation before I saw the footage, and I just immediately assumed, oh, we'll shoot it like this, we'll do it like that. And I had this image of a really quite affectionate family, you know, the dad holding the mom's hand, discussing her mortality and so on. And that's not at all what happened. That's not at all what's in the footage. There's a lot of frustration, irritation, anger, guilt, very complex feelings. And all of these feelings I hadn't really reflected on. That's what's going on probably in a lot of families taking care of someone either with ALS or, you know, a severe neck injury. Anything that requires really intensive, constant care is going to reveal so many things and create so many fissures in any family that is really interesting to explore and also important to understand and appreciate.
Just as a final question, because we're kind of running out of time, Noah, I just wanted to return to how this filming process might have impacted your personal relationship with your mother towards the end. Do you feel that somehow it was a positive, the presence of the camera was a positive presence?
Well, you know, we actually stopped filming before, well before she actually passed away, which was in 2017. So actually, her very final moments, sorry to give away a spoiler, but are not on film. She was able to see an early rough cut, though, actually in her last week when she had already decided to go off of life support. And she loved it. And I think it was about the only time that week I heard her laugh, mostly at my father's expense, honestly. But I think she was very pleased then to see it coming together. And I think that she did feel that it was getting at, some truth about our family. So, yeah, I think she was pleased about that to the end.
Well, Noah and Adam, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you guys. So thanks very much for joining us. I thought Eat Your Catfish was very powerful, moving, and I absolutely loved its humanity. So thanks very much for joining us and talking with us about it.
Thank you, Matt.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.